Okay.
All right. We are off, Ruth. Great to see you again. Yeah. So let's take a couple deep breaths. To just land in the body, land in the now. Breaths are a little deeper and more deliberate than usual. And maybe asking the voices of doubt and planning and worry and criticism, etc., to just sweep away from the center, forming a circle perimeter of sentries, as we've done with them to great effect, so that the voice of your inner knowing can be front and center, and the others can be in support. So that we can focus on this time being incredibly valuable for you. All right, welcome back. So I would love to hear anything, of course, you want to catch me up on, but definitely how the parts we were working with last time integrated, and I know you kind of had a real choice around a house, so kind of catch me up on that, and then we'll focus on today.
Yes.
Great.
So I decided to rent the house.
Okay.
Which is exciting.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, I move in a week and a half, I guess. So.
That's amazing. That's really quick. Wow, great.
Yeah, but I'm not moving in with the woman that was going to move in with me, which is also really good, I think. So I'm going to be in there alone and then be able to find my own roommate if I choose. And yeah, so that's exciting. I've really only had those kind of cerebral moments of you probably made the wrong decision, but gut wise, it hasn't been like, oh, I really made the wrong decision. So
okay,
that's good. And I've just been able to kind of allow those voices to be. So
great. Okay.
Yeah. Not always with everything, but with that specific choice, that's been good.
Okay, good.
I also feel in just in terms of allowing all those different parts of me to kind of, or the couple parts of me to work together. I don't know if it's been quite as conscious in terms of I've been able to see positive manifestations of that, but I think it's still happening. It has to be still happening. And I've done a lot of like just kind of thinking about that, like using my brain to say, okay, I want all of these parts of me to be in concert as I make a decision or I feel through something.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't felt as like natural as it would. I would love it to be at some mm-hmm. point, but it has felt like it's happening. Like I'm making a conscious choice to do that.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. In terms of what's just going on, it's actually been kind of tough week. Since we last talked, actually, it's kind of interesting. I think I mentioned to you, I've been really asking a lot of questions about completion. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. It feels like it's been a while. I'm really looking into what is completion for me? What does it mean for me to finish something, to complete something? And then with that question has come questions of just like, what is death? And how do we look at death in our culture? And what is death in a more like esoteric term and like, or like cycles, things dying in life and then actual death. And so I actually had a patient pass away on Thanksgiving. It was kind of a traumatic code experience. Mm. And I've been processing that and it feels like life has allowed me to bring in just to my awareness, a lot of questions about completion, about death, about transition. I mean, I'm going through a transition from moving, going into a new year, you know, and January is almost around the corner. So just a lot of questions like about that arising for me. Completion, what does it mean for me? And then really just feeling so urgent about the need to create all of the stuff I've been working with into something creative, something that has visible effect in the in the tangible 3D reality that we live in. And I think we spoke to that briefly last session when I was talking about my sister, how she always seems to be doing this next thing and planning something and being creative and acting out on it. And I'm feeling a little bit sometimes like I'm waiting for my life to begin, you know, that topic. And that's been really clear for me is I am ready to be complete with this phase of really pretty much consistent analysis and inner self work. Not that that's not going to always go on, but that it's not my sole energy spender, and that I'm not constantly feeling like unless I'm doing that work, I'm not going to be able to produce something in the real world. And then with that, I just have a really practical, not even practical, it's just I want some advice on a situation with a guy.
Great.
That I've been attracted to for many years, actually. He runs a local coffee shop, owns it, and I actually ended up asking him out last summer. We went out, had lunch, talked for 3 hours, but I got all of the voices that said, no, don't do that, don't go there, and I'll explain why. So at some point in our conversation today, I would just like clarity because I'm making myself crazy. Do I pursue something with him? Why am I attracted to him? And you'll understand why that question comes about if I explain more about who he is. And I just have been processing a lot of real senses of hopelessness again about dating. And part of it is because the idea of getting online just sounds terrible to me, and it doesn't feel right with my spirit, and I don't want to do it. And I have no idea how else to meet people. But also, genuinely attracted to this person, and I don't know how to move forward with it or to be done with it. And so those are the things that are going through my experience right now. And just overarching all of them is this clear indication to me that everything is a choice. Like, I had a really hard day yesterday, and I woke up this morning and I just said, Ruth, once again, you have to just choose. Like, I just have to choose everything to be the way I know in my heart I need it to move forward. And that's really sometimes disappointing to me, that the world is the way it is. And it's really hard. It's really hard for so many people. And it doesn't make sense. And I can't look outside of myself for any validation or support in terms of like making decisions. And just, so I've just been really aware of how much there is nobody telling me this is the right thing for you to do, this is the wrong thing. It is all my choice. And sometimes that just is kind of disheartening, I guess.
Right.
But also really empowering. And so I'm just processing that. Yeah, so that's what's going on.
Well, let me just comment on that, and then I'll be a little more meta and comment on the others. There's a saying in around the neck of the woods where I did my training around belief repatterning, which is, the more choice someone has, the more it's ultimately the goal in working with somebody is to expand the choices that are on their menu. Mm. And that actually that's the only way we have more control. I don't know that we ever have actually control, but more control is more choice.
It sometimes seems like the opposite. Like for me, someone who's a recovering control addict, I sometimes feel that so many choices is terrifying, and I can't, but I see where you're going. I mean, I totally understand that quote. It's just a matter of getting over that belief that choice is dangerous.
Well, you know what I've been working with too is an idea of, control, which I think is our way of trying for safety, you know, or security or surety versus co-creation. It's not like control versus being out of control. No human animal is going to choose that, but co-creation. So there's you and then there's life, God, the feminine, whatever you want to call it, life force that's very alive, and it's very personal too, you know. It's kind of universal, and it's very personal, and it's there to co-create.
Yeah, that's true. I like that.
So there's an element of, it's a mystery. I'm having a dialogue with a mystery and I don't have the next 10 steps, but we've co-created the next step. And so the choices are not always just up to me to figure out. They're sort of co-created, which feels somewhere between, you know, safety and feeling unsafe because it's so unknown. Well, it sounds like we might do good to sort of talk through one or both of these situations and see what's needed. It may just be more a deeper understanding of it, reframing it, giving you some things to try out as opposed to belief repatterning. But do you want to make time for both the creativity slash completion, right? Sort of feels like they're...
Yeah, I like those two together. Yeah.
And then this, you know, question about this guy.
Yeah. I would like to make time for both of them.
Great.
Yeah, that would be great.
Great. Well, coin toss over which is first, or?
I feel like I would like to go with this guy first because I feel that it's less belief repatterning and more getting clear on which voice is the truest voice for me. And then just choosing that, being done with the letting all the other voices get in the way.
Okay. Okay, great. So, are you in a place where you could literally walk away from the screen for a minute, put on 1 minute of music and just move or dance or be in your body for a second? So the reason I'm saying this is that there is a place where we can get into when we've gone round and round with all the voices. It's a little harder to unravel which voice is which, at least for me.
Yeah.
And so let's just give it as big of a chance to be able to distinguish each of the voices so we can get you in your body and connect you with your intuitive voice. And then we could also just then able to more distinguish the other ones.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Does that seem good? You can let me hear it or not, whatever you want. You can do it right there or off camera, whatever feels good, but just literally like a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like just choose a song and like move or.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, something that makes you feel good in your body or happy to be in your body. It can be silly or sacred or raunchy or it doesn't matter. Just anything that'll like make you happy to have a body.
Okay. So I'll probably just mute you.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's great. Yeah.
All right. 'Cause I don't know. Okay.
I have muted too. How'd that go?
Good.
Okay, yeah. Great. Good, good, great.
We should just dance all the time. That's my theory.
It is. Me too. Me too. Great. Yeah, you look so bright and very present. So then let's just do a few breaths just to be deliberate about allowing the voices that are specifically doubt, specifically worry, specifically planning, specifically perfectionism, specifically judgment, self-criticism, any of those fear, just allow them to kind of swoosh to the side and form, if you have a different image, go with it, but form a circle around essentially a sentries, keeping a safe space and clear for your intuitive voice. We want to hear from all voices, and we want to also make the space safe, for the intuitive voice to be heard, since it's often speaks on a different frequency, at a different volume, at a different level of insistence. Okay. Okay, great. So let's just hear from that voice first, as much as you can. Let that voice be what gets your vocal cords. Mm-hmm. And just let's just speak what are you aware of in your attraction for this person? And anything else that feels important about this?
Yes. Well, when I take away all the voices, it's hard to hear.
It's hard.
When I take away all the voices, I think what I feel in my inner space in this, like, I was imagining it as a candle today. And like when I light the wick, I get like the insights that I need. So just this inner truth, this knowing, is that I don't know why I'm attracted to him. That's maybe not helpful, but there's this internal just pull.
Yep. Yep.
And I can't make sense of it.
And how do you feel when you're around him?
I feel alive, turned on, engaged, and also I also feel unsettled in I can't compose myself. Like I tend to put on I'm pretty good at managing a room and dealing with a situation, and I can't really do that. I don't feel like I'm able to control myself in the sense of shutting myself down. That's what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's great.
I'm not out of control, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he remind you? Does he that kind of reminds me of my mom. Kind of reminds me of my dad.
Well, and that's the thing. He could be my dad in the sense of his past life at some level. He was a minister for a lot of years. He was divorced three or four years ago, has two daughters, very charismatic, very outgoing. All these things that are dangerous to me, because they are what my father was, very charismatic, a minister. This guy is still a Christian, still involved in the church. Although from what I'm gathering, he's no longer a minister because of all the things he went through with his divorce. The church expelled him, of course, because the church is ridiculous. I think it was Baptist or something. I don't know. Yeah. Not positive. I can't remember.
Not Unitarian or something.
No.
Okay. Not that you can totally read into it, but you know, a little bit. Yeah. But it's different because you feel like you can't shut yourself down, which you couldn't be yourself around your father, right? That's a pretty big difference. Okay. Okay. Any other voices want to weigh in? Actually, hold on. Just for the heck of it. Let's just see if you can ask your intuitive voice to see if there's a piece of information it could either show you or tell you of if there's a bigger picture around why it might be useful to date this person, get to know this person.
Okay. I don't know why I got this. I got this like idea of waters running deep, like waters run deep. I don't know why that came, but
So bizarre. I don't know how that hit. Sorry. was that an image or was that just the kind of the phrase?
That's the phrase.
Great. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Always to be ciphered. And if you can also ask for some clarification, any more clarification on that? Whose waters?
You know, this is interesting. Maybe I'm going too much into it. Probably am, because this has been going on forever and I'm tired of it. But I see the potential in people, and I know a lot of people see potential in other people. And I want to experience that with people. And so the last guy I dated last summer, I saw so much in him that he wasn't able to see. At least from my perspective. Now, I might be wrong. Like, we can't know people. But, you know, you get intuitions about people. You get energetic knowings from people. And I feel that way with this guy. Like, I feel there's so much there that I could get to know that would be really fascinating. When I went out on the date with him the first time, I know there was a lot there. But I didn't necessarily get it from him. Like, I don't know if he's aware of his, like, depth and his capacity to be, like, to expand and to learn and to experience life. And I may be wrong. Maybe he is. But I think that I doubt that ability in myself. Not even ability. I doubt that I have the right. I don't. To make anybody live their life a certain way. They get to choose what they want to know. And they get to choose who they want to be and how they want to grow. And so when I think of the waters running deep, these people that I'm like, you know, you have that just attraction to, right? And it doesn't feel that it's just sexual. It feels more, more weighty and full. Not that sexual attraction isn't also that, but I don't know. I want to try that out. I want to bring that into fruition. I want to co-create something with that. But I also just find that most men don't really want to do that. And so I go into a relationship with people and I'm not really getting the same desire from them back.
To go to the deep waters.
Yeah, to create something that's more than just, we're now going to have a kid and a house and, you know, we're just going to do the things everyone does as in a relationship. I sense there's potential there with him. But I also know that I don't know if I trust that I trust what I see is true. And I'll be really honest, like, I don't have a vendetta against Christianity anymore. And I used to. I used to hate Christians because I was dealing with getting through that everything that Christianity had hurt me with, right? But to be in a relationship with somebody who is still religious, and that became clear. Like, I didn't know for sure, like, how religious he was until I went and had lunch with him last summer. Like, he still is engaged in his church, and he's, from what I imagine, I pick up, most of his friends are religious. Like, I don't know if that would be something that I would just really not need to be a part of. And that's when the doubts come in, which are, I live in the freaking Midwest. There's really not that many people that aren't religious. Like, I'll be honest, like, maybe so I think I start to then say, but if you have a connection with somebody and there's that, like, proven attraction between you, I mean, I know he's attracted to me, I know I'm attracted to him, then why do these other things that have bothered me in the past have to dictate how I act in the present? Yeah. And I just have become to, like, accept. I'm just really trying to accept that relationships are going to be a lot of work, and they're not fairy tales, and they're not magical, and I know all of that. And so I'm really trying to, like, be open to relationships from that place of, like, maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe you don't know, it's just, this is the one, right? Like, then can I be willing to step into a relationship with the doubts that I have, you know? Is that the right thing to do, right? To be willing to say, yes, I'm doubtful, but I trust this, like, gut attraction to somebody else. So.
Great questions.
Great questions.
And I don't.
Good
Lord. Good. There's a really bad echo. Please go away, echo. Okay, I think it sorted itself out. You know, this is the thing that really helps me as a guiding meta concept in all of this, is that rather than tying everything in a neat bow or solving this issue or that issue, is that a lot of human relating, especially intimate sexual relationships, are about managing paradox rather than solving a problem. I think sometimes we can feel that something's wrong if we can't find a place for it, or, you know, we have this place where we chafe, and does that mean we shouldn't be in this relationship? And I think it's helpful to notice there's going to be some amount of managing paradox rather than sure about everything.
Right.
Just a second. I'm gonna quit here. We're doing this really crazy thing that Zoom doesn't usually do. One second. Is it all fine for you? I hope so.
It's fine for me. Yeah.
Great. I sound a little bit like poltergeist. And this crazy. So what happens if you try it out?
I think that what happens if I try it out in my head is that I have already asked him out once, right? And that was a while back. And then we talked, and I still sometimes go into his coffee shop. I've talked to him since then, but it was kind of an implicit, I never asked him out again. He never asked me out again, whatever. And I don't think it was from lack of attraction. I think it's on me. The onus is on me because I initiated, and I know I'm having a lot of doubts about it. So I feel that if I did initiate something again, could be that he's dating somebody else. I have no idea. that's fine too. Or if he's not and he does want to go out, I would almost feel responsible to just like keep doing it, even if after 3 or 4 dates, I was like, oh yeah, clearly no, this isn't going to work. Now it sounds weird, but like, I feel like I've processed and thought so much about it that it would be like, you date him or you don't. Like, just either ask him out and say, yeah, we're going to date, or don't ask him out and be done. I don't know if that makes sense, but I really feel like a sense of responsibility about it. Like, because I don't want, I mean, I think he's like 42. Like, I don't need to waste his time and I don't need to waste my time with having thought through this for 6 months and then decided to ask him out again, only to say after 2 dates, nah, never mind. Like, does that make sense?
It makes, of course it makes sense.
Maybe really off, but
no, it makes perfect sense. It's a perfectly reasonable line of reasoning. And just to, you know, offer, I really respect where you're coming from. And how the hell are you supposed to know? You're just thinking about it.
Right.
Neither of you know. And partly that is, in the modern age, that is what dating is for. Is just to be in action, not in thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is to be in the experimentation and the adventure of it. And in the answering of questions to some degree, you know. I also think it's just good to hold that you may have heard this. I love this saying, which says that relationships are for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who's to say that something that lasts a few dates is wrong or bad or a waste of anybody's time?
Right. Right.
You know, I can get kind of cynical with things, but when I'm less tuned to cynicism, I think that there's the one of the ways that intuition works is it works on the principle of attraction and resonance, right? Mm. You're attracted towards something because something else is moving toward you, and it is the pull of the magnetic poles. That's what desire is. That's what attraction is. Mm. Toward an idea. That's what creativity is. It's not just an expression, it's actually a pull towards something. Like, there's something in the world that wants to behold this. Mm. And so there's a commensurate, resonant thing in you. Yeah. That's my theory, my half-baked theory. So the thing about intuition is that's the language it uses. It sort of uses desire or creative impulse to draw you forward. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit like stepping stones over a river, is that one leads to the next, it leads to the next. And sometimes they stay and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But X is only possible because you went through W.
Mm-hmm.
And why is only possible because you know what I'm saying? So, and it may be that you realize, hell no, I'm never, you know, or something like that. But there's usually something really valuable, and we don't know what it is yet, in saying yes to what you're drawn toward.
Ugh, yes. I totally feel that. And part of me really is frustrated at some level, because I think of all the reasons why not to date Corey, and it's that was a former minister, still religious, has children, in his 40s, blah, blah, blah. And I think in my heart, or whatever, I feel like maybe I have to do this before I can get past it. And that is very frustrating, exactly like you're saying, like it's a stepping stone to maybe process some things I haven't processed, and I don't like that. Like, I just want to be done with this. I'll just be honest. Like, I just do. I'm tired of this. Like, I want to not have to deal with the uncertainty of making a fucking stupid decision to date somebody that's religious, you know, that it's very religious, or I at least I assume that, and who's older than me and who has children and who's been divorced and like all of these things. Like, do I want to get into that? Why am I drawn to that? Like, can't I just figure it out in my head so I can avoid it? Like, so I don't have to do it. Right. And I've tried that. I've actually tried that for a couple of years now. I haven't been that attracted to him, but then it just got more intense, and I don't really understand why. Like, and I want to understand why, so I don't have to do it. I know that sounds really ridiculous, but like, it's not what I imagined being attracted to. It's not what I planned, and I don't, but a lot of my plans don't come to fruition. So, you know, part of me wants to say to you, okay, we'll be done with that conversation. Let's just be finished. And then you tell me how to like start meeting people. Like, you fix, not you fix it, but like, give me some ideas so that I don't have to date him. Because part of me thinks if I found other people to have engaged with, if I was able to like meet other men that I was somewhat attracted to, then maybe this wouldn't be a moot point, you know? Right. Like, I don't know. So, I think I'm asking for answers as opposed to just trusting, but I don't know.
Well, I think let me ask, I won't state, but it sounds to me like what you're experiencing is the limitations of the mind. Mm-hmm. Is that we use the phrase, if I could just figure it out, and some mm-hmm. things are not figure outable. I'm not saying that you can't come to a conclusion or a deep knowing about them. It's just that they're not figured. I think we might have even said this before.
It's clearly a lesson I have trouble getting in my head.
Well, I think this is a perfect place for this, which is, you know, balancing our intuitive voices with our mind voices, with our brain voices, you know, getting them in right relationship. This is perfectly appropriate for where you're at. You have a strong, intelligent, keen mind. This is great. It's great. It's gotten you far. And it just thinks it's boss and is doing the best it can. And so, so this, of course, this is the, you know, I will just say too, not to get too, I don't mean this is chastising you or anything, but I believe also that this idea of I don't want to have to feel it or go through it, mm-hmm. I want to just figure it out with my mind, is a denigration of the feminine. I don't want to be in life. I just want to think about life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to subject my body to it. I just want to figure mm-hmm. it out. And some things I think are apt, but I do think that there is a part of us that has a disdain for the visceral being in the, you know, in the question of it. And you know, what you're asking for is another piece of your knowledge, your knowing. Hmm. And your mind is saying, well, I'll try to figure it out for you. Mm-hmm. There probably are some things to figure out, but I think you're also looking for another experience of tapping your knowing. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And you don't like who says, I don't know. There's some voice that I think maybe isn't actually yours, which it's pretty tyrannical of you better figure it. Like, you better know whether you want to be with this person before you're ever really after one lunch date, mm-hmm. don't waste his time. Mm-hmm. You know, who would I be to ask him out and then say, oh, well, it's not really, not really working. Is that mm-hmm. a clear, identifiable voice?
Yeah, I'm not sure who it comes from. I think it might just be mine. Like, I might have picked it up from a lot of people, and like, it's not in society, and like, I don't think there was one person that told me to be that way. I don't know. But what you're saying about this, like, I that like that word is powerful, like denigration of the feminine, but I totally resonate. Like, I not even resonate. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. And I have sensed that and to kind of bridge with this guy to the creativity completion thing. That's a bridge for me of like, I don't put my poetry out in the world, which I want to do. I don't engage with a lot of groups or like activism or things that I think are important, because all these aspects of myself that I find that come alive, but I stop them before they proceed to revealing, like being revealed, because I don't want to have the unknowns of what could happen. You know, people may not like my poetry. People may not think I'm really engaged in the activism in the right way. I may not be skilled at the thing I try to do, right? Or even very good at it, or ultimately find I don't like it or whatever. And I don't complete things fully. And I also don't start things that really bring me to life and that come from a place that's not cerebral and that's not planned, because I don't trust the body's reaction to it. Like, I don't trust that something that I can't predict could happen. And I know I haven't done that in some areas, but in some I have, and it's very limiting in how I feel about life. And I think that's one of the reasons I feel so bored sometimes. It's like, because I'm not truly allowing the unknown that life is to fully wash through me all the time, you know, or maybe not all the time, but like as much as I, you know, as much as I can and know I should and want to. I don't want to say I don't trust it anymore. You know, something you said a couple sessions ago, or maybe it was last session, is that these are not things I need to access anymore. I've accessed them. Now I need to build my communication with them. I need to build up the strength of my intuition and build up the strength of my inner knowing. And these, like, those are things that I used to not even be able to access. And now I can. It's the building up of the communication between those things and my mind and my all the other voices. So I know that I have the capacity to trust the unknown and to feel what the body wants me to feel and to be fully alive in this human form. And so it's not that I don't know how, it's that I'm really still uncomfortable with feeling uncomfortable and kind of terrified. And I can't judge myself, because I know everyone is at some level afraid of that. But I'm really tired of letting my life be dictated by that fear, by this, I can't do it because X, Y, and Z could happen. And if I haven't already figured out exactly what X, Y, and Z are, then I will never pursue the thing. But I spend so much time in my mind doing that, and I never do the thing, because I'm always trying to predict the next outcome, all possible scenarios. And yeah,
totally.
So I appreciate that perspective. Like, I don't, and it's one of my journey in the last 2 years is to not denigrate the feminine, to understand it and to integrate it and to bring it to life inside me. And I am still using a tyrannical authoritarian voice in so many areas of my life.
And I'm not wanting to shame you for pointing out the ways you shame yourself, but you know what I mean? But yeah.
It's not shaming. A little convicted. Like, oh yeah, that's
totally,
that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
I have found there are many things that counteract the stronghold that the mind has on wanting to predict and say, you know, the possibility of being in terror or feeling something uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Some of the only things that do that, I'm going to call a sense of devotion. Now, let's just see if that word lands okay with you. For example, my husband, who used to be in a similar, very odd Christian religion and isn't anymore, He's like, I hate that word because it just
right.
it yeah. feels religious to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't to me. Mm-hmm. So let's just see. Let me tell you what it's pointing to, and maybe a better word is there. It's very personal. Mm-hmm. Often it's the person or type of person on whose behalf you're doing your work, or a change that you need, you know, moves you, that you want to see in the world, mm-hmm. or, you know, something that you didn't get when you were young or growing up that is possible in the world. And that's why you do, is why you do your work or do your thing. I don't think it has to necessarily be your career. Mm. That it's moving, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, it really breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. And it's the devotion to that, whatever that is, which actually is more compelling than avoiding discomfort and terror. Mm-hmm. So I am sure that that is there. And I think it'd be really useful to contact that. It doesn't have to be like eradicate world hunger. It might. But it also could be to, you know, embodying life, mm-hmm. or, you know, just having a free flow of creativity. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is, but it might be because, you know, you're talking about your activist, your activist heart. And I often say it's feminine willpower. It's just my lens. Mm-hmm. So if the masculine says, well, you said you were going to do it, so do it. Mm-hmm. Even though, so just pretend you don't feel terrified or compartmentalize the discomfort and do it anyways. And devotion is like, well, there may be terror. Yeah. And I can feel that. And there may be discomfort and I can feel that. And this other thing is so compelling that I will feel my way through this. I will not close off to feeling to keep moving through this, but I will feel it and keep moving toward this and keep making it come through me. Mm. Your turn with this talking stick. How's this landing?
Yeah, no, it totally is landing. And something that I didn't mention earlier, but that has been kind of going through me over the last week, really just the last week, has been this compelling desire. And I'm phrasing it this way because that's the words that are coming to me, but it's maybe not the best way to phrase it. To become a woman, which I know at my age, I am a woman, I'm 34, blah, blah, blah. But I just feel this deep, like, knowing that I can and desire to be a whole human that is able to, and this speaks to what you were just saying, that is able and willing to hold space, to hold the space for everything to come through. And, you know, a friend of mine a long time ago, who I didn't even know him that well, but he was one of those people that kind of reads people. And he said to me, he said, Ruth, you remind me of that you're standing in the middle of a tornado and everything is rushing around you and you're just there. You're just standing there. And that image felt so powerful to me. And in many ways, I still feel that I have the capacity to do that. And this world is very crazy. And I know you know that, and I know that. And I just sense that there's such a need, and I desire and to be that person who stands holding the space for people and for myself to feel what needs to be felt. And to process that as best they know how to do. And so that's one of the ways I conceptualize being a woman, that a person who's, you know, completely in her embodied feminine is doing that. And and I'm, you know, I still work with the doubts of, oh, it has to be perfect, or I have to do all the things right. And I think I'm kind of getting past that. Like, no, it's just constantly fostering that skill in myself. And so when you're speaking of like this devotion and this, I can't even remember all the other words you were, all that you were all saying, but like, I just had this strong desire to be in that space and to be in that place. And, just like, I feel like it sounds cheesy, but like just a calling of like, that's who I'm supposed to be in the world. And, but it's not anybody else telling me I'm supposed to be that. It's like, I need to be that, because if I'm not that for myself, and then hopefully because of for other people, because I'm in their presence, then I don't, no one else is going to be that. Like we have to, like, we have to be able to process all the things that are going on in the world. And if we can't, like, people are just like, people are going crazy. Like, literally, like I see it all the time in the hospital. And so, yeah, that's been this deep desire that's been kind of coming up in me, and to be that person, to hold that space. And yeah, so that's what came up when you were talking. So,
yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. And I don't know if there's, you know, an archetype that goes with that with, I don't even know what you're doing with Elaine, but.
Oh, yeah. I don't know exactly. Probably a combination. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes. Great. Yes. Yes. So that, for example, well, let's just see, let's see about you. How could you imagine in this situation, we'll get to your creativity in a minute, but with the situation with this guy, that your devotion to being a whole human being, becoming a woman, to being a space for that to come through you, being more devoted to that than whatever plan or whatever disappointment or hurt or whatever might come of it, yours or his, like what could you imagine would change in how you'd be thinking about it or acting? Was that clear? Okay.
I would act from that space, holding all of the doubts and the questions and the feelings and the possible feelings. And I honestly don't know what I would do. Like, I'm not clear yet on what I would do from that space. I don't feel comfortable moving forward and asking him out, because I'm not settled in myself in the space that I feel like I want to be. But if I were to ask him out, it would need to be from that space, from a very settled, not that I needed to know everything, but that I was embodied in that choice. It wasn't coming from a place of doubt or fear or urgency or something like that. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, I think. And can we even work with it a little bit where you feel like I realize maybe something in the setup of having your doubt voices be a circle around your intuitive voice. I mean, it's a fun image to play with, but it also, what you said was that in fact, you as an embodied woman are larger than all of it and you hold all of it. That's what it is, you know, to kind of hold or contain all of it. So what's the difference between being settled or feeling settled as you're describing it and waiting for life to begin? Is there any?
Yeah,
just checking.
I don't know. It was exactly a thought that was going through my head as I was speaking. I'm like, I don't know if there's a difference. There is no difference. There is no difference. I'd rather. Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I don't have anything to say. Yes, there's no difference. So being settled for me is waiting for life to begin, and I'm tired of doing that. And so I want to be more attuned with that feeling sense of I can hold it all. I can encompass the doubts and the fears and the concerns and all of the possible scenarios, because my brain works real well and I can see all of them. Living anyway. And that's what I mean. That's what I mean by being woman. Like, like this idea of woman to me just seems so like big and like solid. And even though I know feminine is supposed to be fluid, it is fluid, but it almost is so big that it feels solid. It's like the, you know, matter is made up of mostly space, right? And so that's kind of what I feel like. And over the last 6 months, and I may have mentioned this to you, I just had this desire, and it sounds really weird, and I may have said this, to just be fat. Like, I just want to be bigger. Like, and I know that it's an energetic desire to take up more space and to be more embodied in who I am and just be that. And in many ways, I'm becoming more that way. So yeah, there is no difference between settled and waiting for life to begin. So let's scratch that. And let's just say, let's just say embodied. That's just really trying to get out of doing what she does. She knows her body wants to do. So.
Okay, great. So embodied and living anyway. Embodied as a woman and living anyways. I like this. This is great. I don't want to hammer this point into the ground, but okay. I feel like there is maybe a misconception about intuition, which is that it's just supposed to be super clear from the get-go. And it's refined. It gets refined and it gets clearer and it gets wiser. It's meant to be like a self-sharpening saw or something, if those exist. I don't know. Meaning there is no way to be deeply embodied in your knowing except for that you went through that thing and now you know. And so there was no way to know before it, and it was only through going through it that now you know. And then you go, you know what, there was that red flag I didn't even see. I'm going to pay attention to that next time. And I would not do that. I would definitely do that again. That is where I felt that, and that was a good sign to go forward. It's a iterative process. Mm-hmm. And I know we were talking about that last time with the house, of a little less pressure to have intuition be a slot machine, you know, like I put in a quarter, now tell me the jackpot of what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I just really want to have you embrace, to whatever degree is possible, we don't know until we know, and we only know by sticking ourselves in the situation and seeing. And that is perfectly fine to say, after these 3 dates, I don't want to date you anymore.
Yeah. It feels like the antithesis of the way I live. And I know that in some ways I'm doing it more, but that's just like so, it's like disheartening at some level. But I know that that's exactly why I'm here with you, working with you. And I worked through this thing with Elaine, and I have done so much self like reflection, is because I want to live from that place. And that's just helpful to be reminded that intuition is not, it's not like a missive on exactly the next 5 million steps, right? Like it's, which is what I try to make it be, by then making an intuitive knowing into a cerebral activity.
Right.
And that's not, like you said, I know that that's not bad, but it's not serving me. And I've got a page of life strategies, and one of my life strategies is, if it's not serving you, let it go. And it's not serving me to create into make intuitive knowings into something sure in my mind and never act on them. So yeah, that's Yeah, it's sobering in some ways. It's scary, but it is true for me.
I had this interview with someone who is a really cool example of a woman using intuition in business. Mm. I'll just tell this story briefly just to share. I'll start with the punchline and then I'll backfill a little bit her story. Essentially, she said, I mean, thank God I didn't, my children weren't limited to my dreams for them. Thank goodness I wasn't limited to my dreams. Thank goodness I was listening to my intuition rather than my dreams. She was like, I wanted to work at the factory. I come from a small working family in Texas, and that my dream was to work at the factory. So this woman has a very, very, very difficult life, 2 bankruptcies, nearly suicide, and at a certain point in there, got this idea and just felt enlivened by it. Mm. And was like, I can do that. I'm going to do this. And so she brought to market this product, which you might know. It's called Poo-Pourri. Do you know Poo-Pourri? Mm-mm. It's this bathroom spray. You spray it before you go rather than afterward. And it's this whole lovely, funny, cheeky marketing campaign. And it's bathroom spray. She was studying oils and herbs. And so she did this thing. And people thought it was a hoot.
Yeah.
Her company is worth $500 million.
Oh, shit.
And wow. She's just has always, I mean, she's a human, but generally goes in the direction where her intuition says. And literally, she's like, I had this thing to go sign the contract for $250,000 thing. We were on the hook for it. I couldn't get myself to buy the plane tickets. My body was a no. It was worth it to me. It was $250,000 loss, worth it for me to follow my body. And they let us out of the contract. And, you know, my team knows at this point, she's like, it's not that ideas can't work if they don't follow your, of course they can. People right. are billion-dollar companies and they're only following their heads. She's just like, we don't want to struggle that much. And what intuitive idea would be left undone if we're not paying attention to it?
Mm.
It's such an inspiring story because it has such a concrete, monetary, real-world story attached to it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm glad I don't have a plan for my company. I don't know if I don't have a dream that my company's a $1 billion company. Maybe this intuition wants it to be many billions of dollars. I don't know. Mm. So I just say all that to share. And then she brings this, she calls it resonance of like, and I may have shared a little bit before about, but anyways, this kind of, it just there, if I think of me and this other person or me and this idea, there is a resonance. The energy goes higher. I feel it in my body. There's an intuitive hit. That's the direction I go in. If I'm on a date and I'm not excited and I don't feel that, I end the date. We don't have a kiss, you know? And I think that is, so I want to say, because the mind is like, yeah, but what if we get in trouble? And what if it hurts? And what if we hurt somebody else? And I just want to also counter with, but what if it's so much grander than we can possibly ever even imagine? That's also what your intuition is looking out for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. That's an amazing story. And thank you. Yes. How inspiring to just keep pursuing this. I sometimes get discouraged because I sense that I'm so cerebral. And I grew up in such an authoritarian environment that I feel a little bit like I'm never going to do that. And it's also me being fearful and doubtful. And I know that. I can see that. But it's also really encouraging because I want to be in that place because I see so much of the opposite happening in my own life and in other people's lives. And I don't find that any more fulfilling to spend my days trying to figure everything out and make it all work.
Yeah.
So how inspiring to just go in the direction of your intuition. Yeah. Regardless. Yeah. Yeah.
She's such a bright being. She's so fun. She's so great. So great. She just kind of demonstrates it on a large scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me where you are with all this. Like, what's sticking?
It's all sticking. I just want to, I choose to be oriented in that direction. Like, I choose to trust my intuitions and to move with them as opposed to against them. Because one thing that I've recognized is that I know what my body feels like in resistance. And so that's cool. Like, I can sense when I'm in resistance. And so I can, you know, choose not the opposite of that resistance, and typically that's the intuition direction. So I have this capacity, and I guess what's sticking is, like, just again, like I said earlier in our conversation, it's a choice. Like, it's gonna be a choice.
Right.
A leap of faith for me. And that's good. It's what I need.
I feel that you can also look forward to it being an easier choice. I think right now I'm sure I've used this analogy many times, but it's like you've been overtraining your biceps. You've only been using biceps for your entire life. And now we're saying, but oops, let's do the opposite muscle group, your triceps. And you try and you're like, I have triceps? And then they're sore, and I don't want to do those again because I'm sore. But eventually you just have an arm.
Yeah.
You have a strong arm, you know?
Yeah.
So this is, I just want to share, you know, it's not like you have a flaccid intuition or something. It's very strong. You are in contact with it. But the fact that your system can have a choice to work with either or both in concert, that's coming. You're training for that. This is what it looks like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Well, I'm wondering if this might even tie the two together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if creativity means visual art. Mm-hmm. But is there a way, would you like to do some kind of creative project around I think it'd be really nice for you to have a visual reminder of this choice.
Yes, I love that.
I don't know. It could be like a headdress you wear, or a bracelet, or a necklace, or a thing you put on your wall, or an altar, or I don't know, item of clothing. I don't even know what it is, but would that be a tangible? I'll
feel into that and see what it would be.
Yeah. From there, tell me what is left around creativity, waiting for life to begin, being complete with introspection.
Can it be as simple as choosing to be complete with something?
Totally.
Okay, because I feel sometimes like I'm supposed to make it, like, I've loved the journey I've been on with Elaine and through her program, but there's a sense of, like, creating a ritual or making it, like, really, like, and not that that's bad, but it's just not my style, right? Like, not all the time, right? I'm like, I was joking with a friend the other day, my ritual is, like, burn some more sage, right? Like, but I feel very much like there's a possibility of it just being as simple as, I am choosing to be complete with this. And for me, that usually means writing it down. And it's like sitting in a space of silence for a little while, but like just making it that simple, like to say I'm complete with this. And I know, and I understand that that doesn't necessarily mean I won't have the desire to, you know, totally use my biceps instead of my triceps or whatever.
Right.
But at least I've said to myself very clearly, you have completed this thing, or you've completed, you know, being the person who fixes people in relationships. You are no longer in that space. I guess that's my question, I guess, and you said yes. So, like, I just sometimes, I think it needs to be more complicated. There's all these spiritual things that people do, and I'm just like,
Well, I think that's great. I am of the camp that says yes to that, where I think there's a certain, I guess I would say, I think there is, I'm always looking how to do things more efficiently. Mm. I don't have time to meditate an hour a day, so I want to get the same value out of the 5 minutes I have. So I've worked it out for myself. Yeah. Or I'm peeing, or I'm waiting in the grocery line. I'm going to take advantage of those 2 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. And that may not work for some people. So I think there is a efficiency or no nonsense or utilitarianism around some of this stuff that might appeal to you. Yeah. Like it does to me. You know, if I was just to think about it, when you create ritual space or ceremony space, you're bringing in a different kind of listening or presence to facilitate the place in you that makes the choice, that crosses the threshold. So if you don't need all that stuff to cross the threshold, hallelujah.
Hmm. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I've never looked at it that way before, but that rings true. Yeah.
You know what allows us to land in our bodies? So maybe there is things for that you're smelling incense, you're seeing candles, there's, you know, people around you, your body, what is the, you know, so that your body can be present in the situation.
Right.
But ultimately I do think that, and I'm just putting words to this right now, I think that there's a, you know, we do all that to facilitate the moment of making a choice and going from one reality to the next, literally crossing over the threshold. So I'm saying what I just said, right? You already got it.
And I think that there, for me, I resonate with that. And I sense that for me, there are certain things I want that space, and that space is helpful, or I need it like to get there. And then other spaces I'm like on the full moon, Sunday night, I just spent like a couple hours journaling and a processing, actually, for some reason, processing from 2007, which is the year I graduated, after I graduated college, until 2017, like the last 10 years. And I just drew really bad, like amateur pictures of things and like put phrases to like all the things that have been going on in my life since then. And it felt very much like a completion of a certain time of my life, a certain 10-year period. But I didn't like meditate and go into some sort of like energetic, you know, void space or anything like that. And I think just trusting that when I know I need those ritual spaces, I will create them for myself or seek them out. And sometimes it's not, or it's not needed for me at that point. So
yeah, to me, I'll say this slightly differently and underscore what you just said. So somehow this is so clarifying to me, is that maybe this resonates with you in some of your studies, but that we all have a left and a right brain, and left brain is more responsible for cognition and hierarchy and competition and tying your shoes and judgment and discernment, and you know, it helps us interface as a body with the world. And right brain is, so that's masculine brain. And right brain, which I've heard called your right mind, it's hardwired. It is joy. It is feeling connected with self and other. It is inner peace. It is wonder. It is God consciousness. It is ritual space. We got them both right here. There's like no rigmarole needed to access. You have access to all those parts of yourself all the time. So masculine, feminine. Sorry, I'd reverse it for you. So
masculine,
feminine. Yeah. Yeah. And so ritual space tends to be how can we quiet the left brain? How can we quiet the masculine and invoke the feminine? And you didn't need that ritual, but you also did some of the things that activated right brain, which is creativity and drawing and, you know, that kind of thing, or there's a space of the moon, you know, et cetera. So it's a reason why there are, some of those elements you often see in ritual.
Yeah.
But all that to say, so you weren't processing necessarily by being on the debate team or something, you know, you were processing by drawing, you were processing by creating, you know, it's creativity. So all that to say, yeah, even in the most elaborate ritual, still you'd be choosing to be complete.
Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. Those are helpful distinctions. And yeah.
You also can be complete within completion.
Yeah. I'm not good at that one, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. Like, it's complete because I say it's complete.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I have a friend right now that I'm engaging with about a relationship she ended a year ago, and she's really struggling to be complete with it. And I think she wants to be, but she feels like she can't give herself the ability to be complete within completion. And I get it. I'm like, I'm not trying to force her to be complete, but I just see like sometimes how that's beneficial to say I'm complete with this thing, even if I have not fully, like, I know there's still maybe things in the future that will be completed because of it, you know, right. But I'm right now complete with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really useful, especially when other people are involved, because some of the things that are so hard is that, you know, we want them to be engaged or in a certain way as we're ending things. And if they could be that way, they would have been that way in the relationship, and the relationship wouldn't have ended.
Yeah.
And so what we need to get completion is the thing they couldn't bring in the relationship, which is why the relationship is completing.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to say what I need to get complete is never going to happen.
Yeah. Acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What questions are still there?
There aren't any at the moment. I know that I desired in our next session, if it works out, if it feels right in a couple weeks, I'd really love to just jam a little bit more about what are the things calling me to be bringing into the world? Like are there tangible things yet? Or is it more still energetic? Is it learning to hold that space? Is it really getting, you know, solid in my skills of trusting my intuition and working with that? Like what exactly is there next steps, or am I in the next step? So I'd love to talk with you more about that.
Great.
But this has been super valuable. Really solidifying what I know to be true, which is that I have to, I am done denigrating the feminine by not trusting my intuition. And I'm committed to making that a priority in my life, because it's the only way for me to live. And I know that, for me to live the kind of life I sense I can live. So this has been really great. And I don't know if there's anything more I need to understand. I think I feel complete with that.
Great.
Okay. Completion.
Okay. Okay, so we have this homework of there's some creative talisman for this choice that you're making. Okay, great. And I will say that, at least in my experience, and pretty much everybody I've ever worked with, it's not like your mind goes away. And that living from feminine genius and intuition means you get rid of that pesky mind once and for all, but they just work together. I just wanted to say, you know, you've got a great mind. It's just, you know, it's missing its companion.
Yeah. And I think this idea of working together, I still have this idea I have to fight my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm really wanting to transform that. And I'm going to transform that consciously of my mind is not my enemy. And I know that we've been working with that over the last 3 months. I know that. And just being willing to accept that every time I get into a fight with my mind being willing to say, why is it doing this? What is it trying to tell me? Is it, how is it protecting me? What is useful here? And I think because I resonate with this, I desire for efficiency. Part of me is like, I don't want to go through all those steps. I just want to be like, mind, you're working with me. And I think that that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm going to be like, my intuition saying this, okay, mind, how are you going to get on board? Like, mm-hmm. not trying to go through all the dialogues and, you know, have a fight against my mind, but just really kind of tell my mind, you are not controlling this situation. Get on board. Help me work with this as opposed to fighting it. And just, I really kind of want to make it that much more simple for myself. Because I feel really strongly that, like, this next year, the pieces are coming together already. And, like, I may not do anything, quote unquote, visibly great with my life, but I'm certainly going to be the most alive person I can possibly be. And I'm holding myself back by spending a lot of my time fighting with my mind over that. And I'm really tired of that. And so, it better get on board, because I'm not going to have fights with it anymore. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what you, but I resonate with that. Like, just, yeah, working with my mind. I've kind of come to the conclusion I like my mind. I think it produces a lot of really cool things.
Yes.
And so I'm no longer willing to try to get rid of it, which is why I fight with it, is in order to get rid of it, to bash it down, to beat it down. And instead, I want to make it my friend, but I want it to be a friend to my intuition as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. You might just see about the refrain of saying, mind, what do you need in order to be on board? Like, you're getting on board. So what request do you have?
I like that. Yes. Yes.
You know, sometimes the mind has valid concerns. Mm-hmm. What do you need to get on board with me going to, you know, ask this person out? Mm-hmm. I need to know you're going to wear a condom, or I need to know that you remember it's okay to say I'm done in 3 dates, whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's almost a little bit like what we talked about last time when I said, I'm going to do this house, but my mind needs to get on board with the fact that when I say I'm kind of short on money in February, you know, am I going to work extra hours, or am I going to, you know, like, what do I need to get on board with my, and I said to myself, I'm not going to overwork myself in order to have this house. That's my mind had to commit to that in order to get on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm. So should we leave it there, and then we'll take it that next step further? I have a feeling there will be lots of good information between now and next time that fuels that conversation.
I do too.
That sounds perfect.
Yay.
Great. All right. I'm not in front of my, I shut down all my applications, so I don't exactly know when our next session is, but
I think it's 22nd.
Great. Okay, yes. Great. So we got a little bit of time. Be in touch if you want to riff on any of this in the meantime.
Okay.
And we'll dive in deeper next time.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You're welcome. Beautiful to work with you and see you. And I look forward to next time.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye for now.